John chapter 3. Thank you. That was good. Good. Thank you. I like to hear my Savior bragged upon. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are grateful and thankful that we are your children, that you are our God, and you have purchased for us on the cross eternal life. And not just eternal life, but you have been so good to us in so many different areas. We are undeserving. But you are good and you are faithful. Forgive us where we have failed to praise you. Forgive us where your redeemed have failed to say so. But may you receive our praise this morning, and may it be sweet to you. We love you and we thank you. We ask that you would speak to us through your word. In Christ's name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. John 3:16 is the verse we are working through. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And God's people said, "Amen." I want us to conclude our looking at this verse, where Christ, the Messiah, is explaining to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a religious Pharisee, how he can be saved and enter into the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, Jesus is telling him the only way he can be saved and the only way that he can enter into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus explains that the motive of salvation is the love of God. The only reason that we can be saved, the only reason that we can be redeemed, is because God is a God of love. He is a God of compassion. And because of His love and compassion and concern for us, salvation has come. The objects of God's love are the ungodly, the defiled, the lost sinners, both Jew and Gentile. He loves sinners. He loves the ungodly. He loves rebels. And because of His love for us sinners, He has been prompted to send His only unique begotten Son to take the sins of those He loves and to suffer and die in their place on the cross. And the requirement is that by faith we believe in Christ. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We believe that He has accomplished our salvation fully and completely at Calvary. So God loves us. Jesus dies for us. We believe. And the result of all of that is that we will not perish. We will not be eternally destroyed. That we will not continue in our perishing, but we will have everlasting life. And so if you're here today and you do not believe, you're perishing. Whether you know that or not, you're perishing and you will perish for eternity. But in Christ, if you believe, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And so it is this idea of having everlasting life that I want to look at with you for a few minutes this morning. So let me say three things about everlasting life that I trust will help us gain a better understanding of what Jesus is talking about here. Number one, let's say some things about the meaning of everlasting life. I will not perish, but I will have everlasting life. So what is everlasting life? What precisely is that? Does believing in Christ simply mean that we will live forever? Is he referring here only to an unending duration of existence? I think it does mean that, but I also think it means more than that. Because if we think about it, everyone, even unbelievers, are going to live forever, right? If you're an unbeliever, you're not going to not live forever. You're not going to cease to exist. You're going to live forever in the torments of hell. Some will live forever in the presence of God. Others will live forever in hell, right? So everlasting life must mean something more than just simply always remaining alive. I think that everlasting life is a quality of existence and not just a quantity of existence. I think he's not talking so much about how long we will live, but what kind of quality of life that we will experience forever. So think about life. Life means the ability to respond to your environment. That's what life means, right? I am able to respond to my environment because I am a living being. If you don't believe that, take a dead person, somebody who doesn't have life, and see how they respond to their environment. What's the answer? They don't respond. Say amen. So to respond to stimuli, to respond to life, or to environment, I have to have life. Say amen. In a deadness, I can't respond. In a deadness, I can't respond to this environment. So life basically means the ability to respond to your environment. Everlasting life means the ability to permanently respond to your environment. And eternal life carries with it a spiritual environment. So let's not think physically, let's think spiritually. In a physical life, we respond to a physical environment. In eternal life, we respond to an spiritual environment. In other words, eternal life or everlasting life means that we respond to the life of God. That's why we're saved, right? Paul says we enter into the heavenlies. Our citizenship takes on a spiritual character. And we all of a sudden come alive to God. And that coming alive to God is unending. Say amen. It never comes to a conclusion. It's everlasting life. It is the idea that we can now respond to God. Deadness can't respond to God. Living responds to God. Before I was saved, I was dead in my sins, utterly unresponsive to spiritual realities. It didn't change the facts of them. I just didn't respond to them. But when I became a Christian, when I was saved, I became capable of responding to the spiritual environment, and I shall always be capable of responding to the spiritual environment because I have everlasting life. So the idea is that we have been made spiritually alive. And once made spiritually alive, we will always be spiritually alive, because the life that God gives through Christ is everlasting life. And for a legalistic Pharisee like Nicodemus, obedience to the law, keeping the law, could not provide life to experience and respond to God. So eternal life is not just a long time of living. Eternal life is a quality of being alive to God, a quality of possessing the life of God, of being aware of the environment that is spiritual. People you talk to, when you talk about everlasting life, people want to live in heaven, don't they, forever? They want to go to heaven. They want to live there forever. But do they really want an everlasting relationship with God? You see, that's the problem. We offer them eternal life, and they just think of living in heaven forever and not living, responding, and living in the context of God. I mean, God's going to be there, right? That's exactly what we receive by believing in Christ. We believed and we received everlasting life, an everlasting relationship with God and with Christ. And when we talk about salvation, we talk about living forever, but what happens in salvation is that we are made alive to God through Jesus Christ. And those people we talk to, many of them don't feel the need to be made alive to Christ. They don't sense the spiritual, nor do they desire it. Listen to what Jesus said in John 17:3. And this is eternal life. So he's going to give us the definition of exactly what everlasting or eternal life is. This is eternal life. This is life eternal. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life? That we will know God and know Christ. Say amen. And that knowledge will be everlasting. We often think that everlasting life is about walking on the streets of gold or never dying or never sinning or receiving a glorified body or whatever. But Jesus says it is primarily in knowing, loving, and enjoying God. That's what everlasting life is. Before, we could not enjoy God, and we could not love God, and we could not know God. But we have believed and we have received everlasting life. So that is the meaning of everlasting life. It is the ability to know the spiritual, the ability to know, love, and enjoy God everlastingly. Number two, not only do we see the meaning of everlasting life, but I want to say some things about the manifestation of everlasting life. Notice that Jesus says that those who believe in Christ have everlasting life. He doesn't say they will have. Somebody help me. He doesn't say they will have in the future. But he says they have present, active tense. They have everlasting life right now. So those who have believed are no longer perishing, no longer dead. They are alive. They have everlasting life, and they have it right now. So everlasting life is not something you have to wait until you die to inherit. It's yours now. From the very moment you trust in Jesus in faith, you have, possess everlasting life. In John 5:24, Jesus says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. So everlasting life is a present possession. If we believe, we have it now. Not will have, but we have it. So what does that mean? It means this. Those who believe in Christ will still die physically. But that physical death will not sever from them eternal life. Say amen. We'll die physically, but we will continue to live with Christ. What that means is that because we possess eternal life now by believing in Jesus Christ, we are enabled now to sense God's love, to sense God's rest, to sense God's peace, to sense God's hope, to sense God's joy, to sense the security of belonging to God. We have that now. We often say, boy, I'm going to have me a time over there. It's going to be great. It's great now in Christ. For we have the love of God and the rest of God and the peace of God and the comfort of God and the grace of God and the hope that is in God and the joy that is in God and the security that is in God. We have it now. It is why we ought to be the happiest, most grateful, most thankful, most praising people on the face of the earth. We have everlasting life right here, right now. And what happened was, when everlasting life of Christ comes through faith, it brightens the light on God, it brightens the light on Christ, so that you can know them personally. You can now see Christ, God, the Spirit of God. You see them more clearly than you have ever seen them before. God enables you to see them. Lights come on everywhere. And we can know God. And we can fellowship with God. And we can have a relationship with Christ. Say amen. Because of everlasting life. So Jesus says, everlasting life brings a personal knowledge of God, a personal knowledge of Christ. We can know Him, we can live with Him, we can commune with Him, not future, not just future, but right now. Say amen. So by believing, we do not perish, we have everlasting life now. Now think about this. Have you ever asked this question? Why is it everlasting life? If life, spiritual life, is to know God and to know Christ, why does that life have to be everlasting? And here's the reason, I think, because it will take that long for us to know the inexhaustible glories of God in Christ. God is infinite. And when we have been in glory for 1,000 years, or 10,000 years, or 100,000 years, we'll still be learning of Him because He is infinite. It is everlasting life to know Him because He is so large and so great. It takes everlasting to know Him. So everlasting life is about God and about Christ. It's about the future and it's about this life right now. Say amen. Number three. Let me finish by saying some things about the mediator of everlasting life. It is perfectly clear here that everlasting life is by faith, and it is only by faith. It is by faith alone. How do we get everlasting life? It is by faith we believe. Say amen. That's how we get everlasting life. Only those who trust in Christ have everlasting life. In other words, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Christ will not perish, but have everlasting life. So there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. And Paul didn't make that teaching up. And Peter didn't make that up. And no other author of the New Testament made that up. Jesus asserted it himself. This is a claim of Christ. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life." You don't have life, spiritual life, outside of Christ. No one comes to the Father but by me, Christ said. No one. And Jesus said that. Paul didn't say that. Peter didn't say that. Jesus said that. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus said that. So every one of us in here in this room today have a future. Every human being on the face of the earth has a future. It is one of everlasting life or everlasting condemnation. And the only way that you find everlasting life is in Jesus Christ. And I'm just telling you today what Jesus said. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that perishing people who will believe in Christ will no longer perish, but have everlasting. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come and take upon flesh, die on the cross, taking sin and taking the punishment for that sin, so that those who don't know God, those who are estranged from God, those who are alien from God, those who are rebels of God, those who are offenders of God, will not be punished eternally, but can have so that they can know God and love God and serve God and worship God and fellowship with God. That's what He did. We stood this morning and praised God and recognized God for who He is and what He has done. How were we able to do that? Because God so loved the world that He gave Jesus Christ. And Christ came and died on the cross so that we can believe and have life and not perish. We can believe and have a relationship with God through Christ. We can believe and have fellowship with Him. That's what He did. It's not just a saving from hell. It's a saving to a relationship and fellowship and joy with God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit. Everlasting life only comes to those who believe who Christ is and what Christ has done. And believing on Jesus is the only way to everlasting life. And because we believe in Christ, we experience life with Christ now, as well as expect to experience life with Christ forever. Do good works provide that? Does religious activity provide that? No. the only thing that provides forgiveness for our sins and eternal life is Jesus Christ. And when life is received, the Bible says Christ is our life. And He is our life forever. Only in Christ can we enjoy the blessings of God now and in the life to come. And God has made it so. And we praise His name.